Hi, Kent.
Alvin, say something to Kent.
Can you sing?
Hey, Kent, what's up?
All right. Well, you know, last week, for those of you who missed it, we talked about what?
Worship.
That's right. Worship Him in spirit, right? Amen. Now we're going to finish off the second part of that, because the Bible says there will come a time that the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks are those who worship Him in spirit and what?
Truth.
In truth. So we're going to talk about worshiping God in truth today.
Amen.
But I do encourage you to go to our website at lifegivingchurchinternational.org, and then there will be audio teachings area there. If you scroll to the bottom, there is the worship Him in spirit. And Wanda, you need to listen to that, because what you share today is pretty much in line with what we're talking about. That everybody has something unique, has something special that you do for God. You know, you may not be doing praise and worship. You may not be even necessarily sharing teachings and stuff. But you have a special gift that only you can give to the Father. And I encourage you to go and listen to that teaching. But today we're going to talk about worshiping God in truth. And many of these things, worshiping God in truth, you know, when you listen to the previous teaching about worshiping God in spirit, it's not about performance. That's one of the things that I try to drill the people. It's like, you know, it's not about your performance. It's about your faith, is what you believe in Jesus. So you may not be, you know, having the best voice of all time, or like Connie, she's doing the real estate. You know, she may not be the top dog of everything, but you know what? God loves you, and He wants you to know that, you know, He loves you the way you are. And now we're talking the second part of it. If we are not loved based on our performance, does that mean performance doesn't matter? No, it does. It does, but you need to know the basics. A lot of people get the cart before the horse. That's why a lot of Christians got saved and then they got stuck. Because they don't know how much they are loved by Jesus. But then they've been taught, you gotta love. You gotta love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, there's a book about, you know, passion for Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. But did you know that loving the Lord your God is an Old Testament law? Did you know that? Jesus was quoting an Old Testament scripture. But yet that has been a lot of the emphasis, where you gotta love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You gotta love your neighbor as you love yourself, which is all true. It's the greatest commandment. But if you don't know how much Jesus loves you, if you don't know how much He loves you unconditionally, not based on your performance, then you'll be treating people the way you see God.
That's right.
You're gonna have an image of God, and the image that you have about God is gonna be the person that you're gonna be. So it's important to know and have the right perspective who God really is. That He is your loving Father. If you believe in Jesus, the Bible says He has given you the right. It's your right. The devil cannot take it away. It does not matter if you're naughty or nice. It's your right, because you believe in the goodness of Jesus Christ, that you are a child of the Most High. So I'm very honored today talking in front of royalties. You are the prince and princesses of this universe. You are the children of God. You know, look at the King of England. They are so noble and everything. Well, you are more than that, because you are in Christ, and the Bible says that you are an heir of God. You know, it's amazing how sometimes the words just like fly off our heads. Like, okay, I heard that 10 times, and then we're still acting and talking and still begging and pleading God. Oh God, won't you please, if it be so your will, that you would prosper me in what I do? No, you just say, God, I know this is what's in the covenant. This is what you've given me. So God, by faith, I thank you. I've already got it, and go for it. This is why you kind of go full throttle. You go with the best performance until the world just shake their head. Like Mike today was sharing, he said, like, man, everybody else was, their business was cold. But Connie's business was, like, doing real well. They were, like, shaking their head. What's going on? Because you know who you are in Christ. And this is something that you have by the grace of God. You see, so this is where the second part of this message talking about you go full throttle. You give your best shot. Go with your best self, buddy.
That's right.
Be the Michael Jordan in whatever you do. Show the world. Strut your stuff. You know, show yourself. I mean, because you're not using your strength.
Amen.
You're using the strength of God. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of Christians, they kind of shy. Well, brother, you know, that would be boasting. I don't want to just, you know, allow people to see all the good stuff that I've done. Well, Jesus said, how am I glorified? By you being fruitful.
Amen.
In your job, in your school, whichever areas that you go to. Harvard, he's an instructor in martial arts. Get the best tiger kick that you can ever give. I mean, show them, you know, how to do it right. You know, this is where you get to strut your stuff. But you have to know the basics. That you are not loved because of all that. Because there's come a time when you may not be able to do all those things. If you put your trust in your performance, then when you fail, you come crashing down emotionally because you put so much value on all those performance and all those things that this world is valuing. You know, I've heard people who won Super Bowl rings. They have been dreaming of winning Super Bowl rings. And I've heard, I forgot who that guy was, but he said he won the Super Bowl. And then he asked himself, is this all there is to it? I've been working so hard. This is it? You see, if it's all about the ring, if it's all about, you know, the fame and the glory and all these things, and all the while you miss your relationship with Jesus,
amen,
everything does not matter. That is why I strongly encourage you to really listen to that first message that I did, worship Him in spirit. You got to almost listen to it again and again. And probably pray in tongues as you listen, because you got to know that. Who you are in your born-again spirit. It's vital. It's critical. I encourage you to listen to that. So today, in particular, I want to talk about two points about worshiping God in truth. And this is specifically more in the area of singing, but you can apply it also in other areas that you do. As your pastor in praise and worship, it is part of my duty to make sure that you are singing the Word of God. What does that imply? That implies the lyrics of the song is more important than the melody. So if you have a Christian song that made it to the top 25 chart of the CCLI, you know, CCLI is that Christian billboards kind of thing. But if the song does not build you up, if the song does not cause you to appreciate what Jesus has done for you, if the song, I'm sure you probably have heard this song before. Creating me a clean heart. Oh, God. I used to lead people to sing that song. It's a beautiful tune, beautiful melody. But the lyrics are Old Testament. And as your pastor in praise and worship, I want you to be vigilant. Even the so-called Christian songs, you may like the beat, you may like the melody, but if the lyrics does not cause you to allow the peace and the joy and the love of God to flow in your life, either don't listen to it or change the lyrics. Either way, because it's not good for you. And let me give you one more example, and this is kind of subtle. You may not think about this. Your love is better than life. Your love is better than life. Some of you may say, duh, what's wrong with that? Isn't that good? The love of God is everything, right? But that's not biblical. That's why, you know, as a praise and worship person, it's not important just for you to be musically talented or anything. You've got to know what the Word of God says.
Right.
What does the Bible say in John 3:16? The famous verse that you guys know. What does it say? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so that who believes in Him shall not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
Life. So life is a byproduct of what? Love. It's because Jesus loved you so much that He wants you to have life. So when you say, oh God, your love is better than life, you're implying that life is worse than the love of God. And that's not true. Because there are many times, sometimes I go to church, you know, do praise and worship and stuff like that, and then by Wednesday, I feel something like, man, this life is really not that worth living. You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, God, you know, something about life. Maybe I should just pray for the sweet by and by, or pray for a quick rapture or something. Get me out of here. You know, it's because the kind of song that sometimes that we sing, and subtly we are meditating on those things, and we're not worshiping Him in truth. Because worshiping Him in truth is to worship Him based on the Word of God. And the Word of God will only produce life and peace. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the Word of God will only produce life, not death. Or any kind of feeling like, oh God, you know, please get me out of here or something like that. That's not the kind of song that you want to sing. So how do you apply this in areas other than praise and worship? You know, Barbara is not here, but I'm going to use her as an example. I think she's like a student counselor at public schools and stuff. How do you use that principle, worshiping Him in truth? Well, you cannot sing to your students, right? But what can you do? You can speak the truth. You can speak the Word of God. You can provide advice that is biblical, that is building the students up, that does not point their mistakes, that does not try to, you know, berate them or anything like that. You can apply the same principle. You speak the Word, and the Word is always there to build you up and not to tear you down. Amen? So you can do that in other areas of your life, not just in singing. When you worship Him in truth, you are worshiping Him based on what the Word of God says. So you speak the Word, you sing the Word. Open your Bible in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Amen. So based on that scripture, it says you allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. There are two things that you do, right? First, you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. That's what you do when you go to church. You listen to the pastor preach. That's the teaching and the admonishing. But what's the second part of that? To allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. What's the second part of that verse says? As you what? As you sing, right? That's what it says. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with what? Gratitude in your heart towards God. So you see, praise and worship is very important. And a lot of people, they go to church, they say, well, you know, yes, okay, you know, they're just doing praise and worship right now, you know, the sermon has not started yet. But what does the scripture say? It is the other side of the coin, really, to allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Some people have the word of Christ dwell in them poorly because they only listen to sermons like what I do, and then the whole week they never really meditate on the word of God, nor do they have songs in their heart with gratitude in their hearts to God. You know, it's powerful. How about this song? You probably have heard me sing. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And then it goes back. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Anybody knows where that is from?
Yeah, is that Romans?
Right, Romans chapter
8,
verse 1-2. You see what I'm talking about? You sing the word. When the devil hammer you, or sometimes Amen. Your own conscience Amen. Hammer you, make melodies in your heart. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for me. You know, that's what allows, according to scripture that you just read, the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. richly. How many of you wants the word of Christ to dwell in you richly? I want the word of Christ to dwell in me richly, not just a little bit of dab here, a little bit of dab there, and then when the devil hammered me, I'm like, oh God, you know, why did this thing happen? Because I did not allow the word of Christ to dwell in me richly. I just listened to sermons, like what I'm doing right now. But I did not sing the word of God. You see why I say lyrics is more important than the melody?
Amen.
How about this song? I'm stepping on some of your toes here because it could be one of your favorite songs, all right? In fact, I lead you into this song, but I changed the lyric a little bit. How about this? Draw me close to you. Never let me go. What's wrong with that? That implies, God, draw me close to you. Please, don't let me go. Please, Lord, never let me go. So there is a possibility in your mind that God may let you go. So you're like begging God and say, oh God, draw me close to you. Never let me go, Lord. Never let me go. You see how poisonous this could be for your soul? No wonder by Wednesday you figure out, oh God, it's a drag. I can't wait until Sunday comes so I get another dose of the Word of God. Because you don't allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly, and you do not know the truth. And the Bible says the truth shall set you free. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know the Greek word for never means never? You don't have to look it up. It means never. Alright? So what did I do when I lead you to sing that song? I put you all in front of it. So it goes like, draw me close to you. You'll never let me go. So I'm assuring my heart that God, you will never let me go. So I sing the same song. I sing the same tune because I love that song. You know? But, you know, the lyrics are important. Alright? And as your praise and worship pastor, it is my job to make sure you get the best buffet, the best chicken soup for your soul, and not give you something poisonous, and then you have what I call spiritual constipation.
Exactly.
Have you ever felt spiritual constipation?
Yeah.
I did.
Yes.
I did. It is a beautiful song. I like it, but then something's not right.
That's
you know, it's
right.
Like,
that's right.
There's like, ooh, something yucky inside as a result, because you're not singing the truth. You're not singing the Word of God. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make you suspicious of Christian songs. I got to say, 9 out of 10 Christian songs out there are there to build you up. I don't want you to come to me, Henry, what do you think about this song? I don't want everyone, what do you think about this song? Your spirit knows all things, according to Scripture. You know, you can feel it inside. If it's building you up and it's encouraging you, yes, go ahead. And sing it. Amen?
Amen?
So what's the first point about worshiping Him in truth? Sing the Word. Amen? And so that's what the Bible says. And here's the final point. The second point about worshiping God in truth is to worship Him in love. Okay? Have you ever had friends who come to you only when they need something from you? Someone who's just like being nice to you, but he has hidden agendas. Have you had that kind of people approaching you and stuff? Okay? Now, with God, He didn't mind blessing you because you are His child. He loves you so much. Okay? Even if you just, Dad, you know, give me my $100. And then He gave you that $100, and then you went out and forgot about Him. He still loves you. But you know what? If you were that father, if you were that parent, you want your child to spend time with you, don't you?
Amen. That's right.
You want your child not to come to you just only when they needed money. Only when they just, you know, have problems. Oh, Mom and Dad, you know, I'm in a ditch. Could you just bail me out again? No. You want your child, your daughter, to spend time with you. So when you worship God in truth, the motivation has got to be love. You know, sometimes we use praise and worship just as a distraction. There's nothing wrong with that. When your body's in pain, It's great to use praise and worship as a distraction. But I'm telling you, there is a greater motive why you do praise and worship. It's because you love God so much, because you know how much you are loved by your loving Heavenly Father. So when you come to Him, Abba, Father, you know, I'm here. I know that the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. But I'm not focused on all those things.
Amen.
I'm just focused on sitting on the lap of my dad and say, Daddy, you're awesome.
That's right.
I love you. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. You know, it just blesses his heart more than I could ever say when you do that. I mean, he's not like your earthly father that you can touch with your hand and you can see with your physical eyes. You can only perceive him by faith. Okay? You can only perceive him as you read the word. This is your loving Heavenly Father. This is who he is. Okay? And so when you come to him like that, just say, Daddy, you know, I love you. You're a good dad. That blesses his heart.
Amen.
That just blesses his heart. So, I just want to encourage you to know, the Bible says in Romans 12, that love must be sincere. That's what the Bible says. And sincere means truthful. That's why I said to worship God in truth is to worship Him in love. Because love must be sincere. It cannot. I mean, He still loves you. He will give you everything. The Bible says in Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give you all things? Again, I don't have to look up the word all in Greek. It means all. So He would gladly give you all things. But won't you think that you would really bless His heart if you come to Him and say, I know, Father, I've already got all things. I'm rich in Christ. I'm not coming to you because I'm needy, because I am your heir. I've got everything you've got. But I come here just because I want to spend time with you.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be praying in tongues. You may not be singing anything. You might be just closing your eyes and just imagining yourself in the presence of God, in the presence of your loving Father, and you are, you know, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Not a word spoken, but He knows your heart.
Amen.
You know, as you grow more mature, just like, for example, in your husband and wife kind of relationship, as they become more mature, you know, sometimes there are no words spoken. Is that right, Sheila? Sometimes, you know, like Ken and you, maybe you guys are just, I mean, not have a lot of words to speak, but you know with each other that you love each other. It's a mature kind of love. The same way with God. You don't have to act or perform or, you know, jump through hoops and trying to impress God. He's already impressed with you because of your faith in His only begotten Son. Amen. So when you come to Him and worship Him in truth, you worship Him in love. This is my lifestyle. So this is not something that I tell you, why don't you try this and see if it works. This is what I do every day. And I've been blessed more accidentally than I've ever been by just fellowshipping with God than, you know, asking and begging and pleading God for this and that and all these things, because I know I've already got everything that pertains to life and godliness. So when I come to God, I'm not needy. I've got everything you've got, Father, and I'm here just to spend time with you because I love you. And that blesses His heart. Amen. So what are the 2 points about worshiping God in truth? Number one, sing the truth. The word is the truth. Okay? So I don't want you to be just, you know, blatantly just drink whatever people give you when they're doing praise and worship. Okay? It's a job of the praise and worship leader to be your wine taster. Do you know what a wine taster is back in the old days? What do they do?
Taste the wine, make sure they want to poison and kill the cake.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is really my role as the pastor of praise and worship. Those songs that you sing today and everything are the songs that has been a blessing in my life. And because I know it has produced fruit, I lead those songs in praise and worship. And what's the second point? You worship Him in love. That is the motivation when you come before God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.